that you would journey with me for the lesson of life this morning to the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. I think there's, I was impressed upon me, there's something there for us in this old text today. God, let it be a tailor-made for your circumstances and your situation. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, beginning at the fourth verse. We shine some morning spotlight on verses 4 through 14 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Whoever is back, I'm coming. I haven't started reading yet. I'm ready to pray. Amen.
Amen.
God shines on us. Okay, let's lift the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord God, I acknowledge your name in all the earth. It's once again, oh God, another time. We stand behind the holy roster to proclaim your word. Father God, I am nothing but an earthen vessel that you pour into that I can pour out to your people. Father God, look beyond my faults, see my needs, meet the needs of your people. Not because of me, Father God, but for them, for your name's sake. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, take me down in the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. Allow me to exegete, explain the text just like how you gave it to me. Lord, Father God, allow them to get excited about what you're saying to them. Father God, let this word be like a living word, fit for their circumstance and situation, what they're going through right at this present time. Right now, in the name of Jesus, let just your word reprove, rebuke, restore, encourage your people with your word today. Bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word and knowledge away from your people. You send in your word, and we perish for lack of knowledge. So, Father God, we ask you right now and beg of you, O Father, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, anoint every mind and seat in the place. Father God, give us a good time in you today. And whatever's accomplished in this sitting, oh Father God, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, you God, all the honor and all the praise. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at the fourth verse. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, your diviners that be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in thy name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. I'm going to explain this thing in the message, but I want to give you a little pre-tip of this thing. God said, your diviners, you don't need to be going to the palm reader, the crystal ball reader. He said, nah, don't listen to them. I didn't send them. And he said, make sure you hook up with the right people too. Who giving you, everybody got a word they're going to put pour into your spirit. You're going to get it better. Be careful you let pour into your spirit. Unless they've been praying. Verse 9 says, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. Verse 10, for thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end. Help me, somebody. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, said the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, said the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You know that the Lord's word is already blessed. I'm going to tag on this text. How to wait while you're going through. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. How to wait while you are going through.
All right. How to wait while you're going through. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
As Bible students, I pray that you are fully aware. One of the great dangers of those who would teach, preach, and try to interpret Scripture is you got to be very careful of those who will try to interpret any passage of God's word without giving due attention to the historical context in which the word is written. That, in essence, is a crime of the academy and a violation of all that is taught in seminary and religious colleges to try to anesthetize a scripture and remove it from the historical context that caused its creation in the beginning. In a way, it is kind of like trying to understand Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, without knowing anything about civil rights. That is rooted in historicity that gives accurate interpretation to what God is trying to speak. Now, Professor Wesley Wildman of Boston University, some of whose work I have read, argued that in Scripture, although there are many things that happen historically, there are three critical events that anchor all Scripture. Can Pastor teach it? Dr. Wildman suggests that 80% of Scripture deals with, talks about, or tries to understand in some way three critical moments, events that happen that really ground and anchor all of Scripture. And if you are not familiar with these three events, you will always misinterpret what God is saying and what God is doing in His Word. It says, whether it be the Psalms or the prophets, whether it be the law or all the Gospels, whether it be history, the reality is that all of Scripture rotates and revolves around three critical movements and moments in history. The first one should not surprise you. Here we go. The death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. You cannot correctly begin to understand God's word without an understanding of what God is doing on the cross of Calvary. That all of the prophets were making their way towards Calvary. All the books of the Bible, that's where the head was. Calvary. The Gospels help us understand the life of the one who would die. The remaining part of the New Testament gives us an explanation of what it means to walk in the resurrected light of Jesus Christ. Mm. Number two, the second event that anchors Scripture other than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is an event known as the Exodus. That great movement and freedom of God that comes to us in the second book of the Bible, where we encounter a God that hears the cry of His children. A God who moves upon political systems and ideology to bring deliverance and freedom to those who are enslaved. A God who shows up at the Red Sea or to make a way out of nowhere, proving that He can do anything but fail. A God who forms a covenant with a body of people to let them know they are His chosen, then begins to move them into a place of promise to show even when we are not faithful, He is faithful to do what God said He would perform. I love God. Number three, so you have the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. the essence and the third event that really anchors and grounds all of Scripture is something that happens in 597 BC before Christ, called the Babylonian exile. Stay with me through the history lesson here. It is in 597 BC, right, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, come in and conquer the southern kingdom of Israel known as Judah and destroy the capital city known as Jerusalem. In this time, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the sovereignty of Israel in 597 BC. And Israel would not regain sovereignty over the land until 1948, over 65 years ago. From 597 BC, BC to 1948, there have been a displaced people who did not have sovereign control over the land the Lord had given them. No matter what the political situation is, what they say about Israel, God gave them the land. That's the way it is. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come in and destroy Jerusalem. And the reason it is called the exile, not only did they destroy Jerusalem, but they lay hold onto 4,600 Jews and export or exile them to live in Babylon under the hand of the enemy that destroyed their homeland. Y'all listen to me. You need to know it was per the customs of Babylonians. When they conquered a nation, they did not just take anybody. They took the cream of the crop, the talented tiff, the intellectual and the artistic, and the philosophical and the laborer, the entrepreneur. They grabbed the best of the best from Jerusalem and left the remaining remnant in the city, while 4,600 Jews were exiled to Babylon to live as Babylonian citizens. Y'all follow me now? In essence, they took from Jerusalem all the human resources necessary to rebuild the city. Although it was rough for the remnant of Jews to remain in Jerusalem, the reality is it was even tougher for the exiles who now live in Babylon. For this was an era which there was no CNN on the ground. There was no Twitter, there was no Facebook to give you post updates. There was no Instagram to give you pictures. So they had to wait for a word of mouth to find out what happened in Jerusalem, what's happening in Jerusalem. And slowly word began to trickle from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon that the city had been destroyed. The temple had been burned, and it left them with questions that were unanswered. What was the fate of loved ones still in Jerusalem? What happened to personal property and possessions and so on? Here are people exiled in Babylon who are worried and wondering about the fate of their homeland, who are saddened and sorrowful about the destruction of their city. And to make matters worse, they're now living in hostile enemy territory. They are living with the Babylonians, having to learn people they don't like, adjust to food they are not accustomed to wander through a city they know not of, to work jobs they have no experience in, to learn a language they do not speak, to be in a religious system that does not worship the God of their fathers. Yeah. What you say? This is a hopeless situation. The only glimmer of hope they had, the only thing that kept them going, the only thing that made them feel, listen church, listen, like they could endure, that there were three prophets named Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah. These three prophets gave the exiles some hope by telling them that the Lord says that exile will only last for 2 years. They filled these exiles with hope that in 24 months, the Lord will deliver you out of this mess in Babylon. If you hold on to God for 2 years, you will be back in Jerusalem. God will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar from around your neck. God will destroy the Babylonians. It's only going to take 2 years. So these exiles have some glimmer of hope. If they can just hold on for 2 years, everything will be all right. That's until they get this letter from Jeremiah.
All right.
That's recorded to us in chapter 29. For it is here that Jeremiah the Tyrant writes to the 3,023 Jews that have been exiled and left. The letter simply goes like this. Y'all don't listen to Ahab them.
I got it.
Don't listen to them. Zedekiah and Hananiah, they are not speaking on behalf of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord told me to write to you, to tell you, you are in exile, that it won't be 2 years, but it'll be 70 years.
Yeah.
Did y'all just hear that?
Yeah.
It's not going to be 2 years, but 70 years before the Lord brings you out. I need you to stand in their shoes now. They're sad and sorrow about the destruction of Jerusalem. They're adjusting and adapting to living in hostile enemy territory. And the only hope they had was it would not last long. And now the word of the Lord that comes to them, the season you are in a struggle, y'all, you are going through, the place in your life will not pass quickly. This is not going to be a walk in the park for you. This is not going to change with one prayer and one praise service. This is going to last 70 years. What do you do when you find yourself in an exile, exilic existence? Help me say it, Lord. An exilic existence. You are in a place in life you never thought you would land in. You find out that this season you're in will not go away quickly. That this burden will not be lifted automatically. What do you do when you begin to realize, baby, it may get worse before it gets better? It's about to get dark, and no matter how much you pray and beg, this season you're about to go through will be the worst one of your life. The most complicated you have ever faced. What do you do since that God's declared you have to take this journey? He said, he done told you, you got to do this. Wow. You have to go through the wall. It won't be quick. Believe it or not, life has a way of putting you in exile. You wind up in places you did not think a saint like you should end up. Living under the hand of folk you did not like. Dealing with situations you did not ask God to bring into your world. You ever been in a dark place in your life?
Yeah.
Because I'm by myself. And had a sense that it was going to be dark for a little while. What do you do when you're waiting on God to bring you out of the worst situation in your life? What do you do when you're waiting on God to remove the yoke off your neck? What do you do when you're begging God to do just to get you out of this mess that you're in? Just get me out. What do you do when the Lord is taking his sweet time to change the circumstances of your life? What do you do when God is not answering your prayer after you say amen? What do you do when you are in exile? Somebody says, that's a good question. What do you do? The Lord gives us some advice. Y'all know Pastor Addy. On what to do when we wind up in exilic places. Dark seasons and struggles that are heavy and burdens that don't go away easy. The Lord said, there are a few things that I need you to do if you find yourself in a place you don't want to be in life. He ain't always going to bring you out. I told y'all, God is not a cosmic bellhop like Santa Claus sitting on a planet somewhere. So y'all waiting for y'all to call him. You know, he run down there and fly down here and take y'all out. Oh, no. Watch me, Sister Fernanda. Here go number one, Ted. God said, be productive in the midst of your predicament. Be productive in the midst of your predicament.
Yes.
I want you to learn to be productive no matter what you are going through. The Lord said it's going to be 70 years. It's going to be a long journey, a long haul. It's not going to go away easily. This is what I want you to do. Build y'all some houses.
Move in. Buy some furniture and settle down. Plant a garden and eat. Marry, have some kids. Make your kids have kids. So that you will have some grandkids. Keep on living life, even though you are in an adverse situation. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Oh no, we want to fold up 10. Have a pity party. Can I preach this then? Keep on doing what you've been doing.
Yes, sir.
Don't get over in Babylon and decide you're just going to lay down and die.
Yes.
Because you are not in the environment that you want to live in.
Yes.
Keep on doing what you've been doing. Get your hair done. Get your teeth fixed. Get you a mani-pedi. Clean up in the morning. Get dressed. Go to work. Put a smile on your face. Keep on doing what you've been doing. God said, I command you to increase. In a bad situation.
Yes,
oh boy, this is going to be hard. Y'all quiet. I know it's a dark place, God said. I know it is hostile territory. I know you don't want to be there, but I demand you increase while you are there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you diminish. Don't you set back. Don't you give up while you are there. You increase. Don't you get so depressed that you don't want to do what I called you to do? Don't you become so sad and sorrowful that you don't try anymore? When you are in a dark place, give it the best you can and keep on increasing.
Yes.
God said, I'm with you. God told me to increase now. So that means he's going to lock my territory even when I'm in the hell. Well, y'all ain't feeling that.
Yeah.
It don't have to get better. I just have to just do what God told me to do.
Yes.
Can I tell you why it's real? Because when we get in an exilic existence in a place we don't want to be, in a season we did not ask for, with the longevity we did not pray about, the tendency is to just throw up your hands. Because you become so frustrated by being in hostile territory that you no longer make an investment in your increase.
Amen.
I just said so. Make an investment in your increase. No, you ain't gonna. No, you ain't gotta wait till you get out of a bad situation to start doing good. Change your mind to change your mind.
Yes. All
right now. Oh, this soldier talk now. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Soldiers don't back up and fold up in a bad situation. So when the rough get tough, when it get tough, the tough get going. That's what these exiles are about, because this is the same group. Watch me now. Let's go Bible. This is the same group of saints that Jeremiah writes to. These are the same exiles who wrote Psalms 137. In case you have not read it, I'll give it to you. Psalms 137 is written by some exiles, and the Babylonians came to them and said, sing us one of them good praise and worship songs y'all know. The exiles said, how can we sing the praises of our God in a foreign land? There was the mindset, because they were no longer in Israel, they could no longer praise God. God's word to them was, even though you are in a foreign land, I am not a foreign God. Wherever you are, that's where I am. Y'all hear me? When you was going through hell, we think God done left him. No. He closer than he had than when any other time.
Yes.
Jacob said, he's behold Jehovah Shammah. He's ever present God.
Yes.
You can praise me in hostile situations, God said. You don't have to be in a perfect condition for me to show that I am still God. I will still bless you. I will still multiply you. And I will increase your territory.
Well,
don't you know when we serve a God who can multiply you while you're in the enemy's presence?
Yeah.
In the book of Psalm 23, he said, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Do you know, I know this is not how you want it to be, but do you, baby? I know you got folk rising up against you. I know where they think that they think that you're not gonna make it. But do you know they speak ill about you?
Well,
and you don't deserve it.
Hallelujah.
Just do what God has called you to do.
Yes.
And God will cause you to increase.
Yes.
Be productive in spite of your predicament.
Yes.
Watch the text. Not only I want you to build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit, marry, have kids, and let your kids have kids. Here we go now. This is going to mess y'all up. Pray for your persecutors.
Come on now. Yes. Yes.
God, you don't lost your mind. I have an issue with this. The Lord literally says in verse 7, I want you to have a prayer meeting for Babylon. I want you to call. I want you to call to the Lord for your enemy. He didn't say tell God to kill him. He said tell God to bless them.
Yes.
I know you are more saved than I am, and your Bible is bigger. But this is the stuff, this is the tough part for me. For pastors, this is the tough part. I do it, but it's tough. It's still tough. It ain't got no ease all these years. I don't know. Because I turn the cheek, and when someone slapped me on the side, I turn the cheek. I ain't got that yet.
Yeah.
I just say, I'm going to keep it real. Because I got a tendency, if you push me, I want to push back.
Yes, sir.
It's just automatic.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Turn the other cheek. You catch me on the wrong day, you might get slapped back. My instinct says, if you cuss me, don't you let me stand behind this pulpit in this nice suit fool you. Lord said, I want you to pray for the folk that have done you wrong. Here's where the lesson becomes deep. What the exiles had difficulty understanding was everything that happened in the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile, listen to me, was by the divine design of God. Read the history. The conquest of Jerusalem did not happen because the Babylonians were stronger or had better military strategy. They conquered Jerusalem because God says this, the Babylonians were tools in my hand and I used them to destroy Jerusalem to turn my people, the Israelites, back to me. Don't play with God. Yeah, you're his child. I tell you all the time, you take God for granted if you want. It's all about you? Okay. God will know how to get you back. He'll get you back. I don't want to come to this. I want to just listen with a little feather tip my ear. Son, you got to go the other way. Instead of you. That's going to hurt.
Yes.
You got to learn, obedience is better than sacrifice, y'all.
Yes, it is.
But while things going good for people, they ain't got time for God. I know better. In my good time, I'm praying all the more. Because
yes, yes.
I heard some old folks say, some senior saints told me, Mother Martha, Dad, you know what I mean? You need to know how to send your timber up. How can I go to bank and draw something and I put nothing in the bank? They say, Mr. Clark, you got zero on your bank. What do you want from us? It was God's divine design. Read the history, y'all. They conquered Jerusalem because God says these Babylonians were tools. Now, I'm using them to get you right. I'm using your enemies to turn you back right. Here's the struggle. If the destruction of Israel was by divine design of God, y'all with me? Then so is the exile. The divine design of God was for 4,600 Jews to have to live 70 years with their enemies. Do y'all realize some people are going to die there?
Amen.
God said he's going to, here it is. God said he's going to bless me.
Yes.
I'm here praying for him to keep bless me. I'm trying to do the good to do. But all actuality, if I'm in the book, I'm reading, it's tough, James, but I might never see the blessing.
Yes. Yeah.
What I'm working for right now in the Lord, little Warren may see that.
That's right.
I may never see it. So what I'm supposed to do, because I ain't gonna see it, I'm not gonna work, the devil's a lie.
Yeah.
Here's what we don't like about God. God will sometimes call, command, and connect you to people you would rather live without. You ever have people in your life you wish would just go away? Can't you just find another job? Don't you want to move to Alaska somewhere? Yet by divine design, the Lord will sometimes inextricably connect you to folk who aggravate the hell out of you. God says, I'm going to make you work with somebody that gets on your nerves. I will put you in genetic relationship with a cousin that is crazy and deranged. And they're not going anywhere. See, that's messing us up because most of the time, our prayer is, Lord, make them go somewhere, send them somewhere else, Lord. God says, no, you're connected in this season because I need you to get you to learn how to pray for your enemies. I see you getting quiet right here. The extent of your prayer life goes like, Lord, fix me. Give me this. Do that. I want that. Lord says, you need to start growing in prayer where you learn how to begin to pray to God for the welfare and the well-being of those that hate you and stand against you. Because, watch this now. Watch this. Because until you learn to pray for them, you will not have peace yourself. The scripture says here that he said, pray for Babylon, because in praying for Babylon, you're going to get some peace.
Yes, sir.
God, you messing with me now. I'll be going to pray a Psalms 109 prayer. Lord, make them orphans. Take away their husband, their wife. Lord, turn their finances upside down. Lord, make them go home and go into folk. Lord, kill them. That's the kind of prayer I want to pray. God said, no, you ain't praying that prayer not this time. Okay. What you say? Time for you to grow up now. Okay. Yeah, this grown folk church now. The Lord says, listen, it's only when they are at peace will you be at peace. So here it is. Whatever you want for you, you have to pray for them.
Yes.
What you want, pray for them. You don't have to clap. I got the mic now. You want to be whole? You must pray that they get whole. You want a financial blessing? You got to pray for them to get a financial blessing. This is the only way you can get your prayer through, Rob. You got to pray for the Negroes. Oh, that's on Facebook. You got to pray for them, even though they ain't right. But let me tell you, understand the principle. You're praying for them because God wants you to have the right intention.
Right.
Once you pray for them, oh, they're going to get this.
Yes.
But God said, vengeance is mine.
Said the Lord.
You don't have the right to say, who I beat them up.
My God.
Here we go. Here, go to, listen, here, listen to this. Lord understands that most of the people that cause trouble in your life, they really don't have trouble with you. They have trouble in some other area, and they take it out on you.
Right.
If you want to be at peace with them, you must pray that they find peace with whatever the real issue is. Because I'm not your issue. So that they will come to you with a different attitude and a disposition. And I'm a living witness. They will. You must learn to pray for your enemies. That's your homework assignment tonight. The next time you bow before the Lord, I double dare you to ask the Lord to be good to your enemies. I double dare you to ask God to bless those who hate you. I dare you to ask God to forgive those who have done you wrong. When you do that, God says, watch what I'm going to do for you. Watch me open doors for you. Watch me give you their stuff. If you learn to pray for them, I will deliver it to you. Be productive in your predicament. Pray for your persecutors.
Yes.
Oh, here's number three. I'm trying to get in y'all way. Y'all ready to go home. Protect yourself from false prophets.
Yes.
Lord said, I know you like what Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah told you. I know that made you feel good, but I did not tell them to say that. Here's the word of the Lord for you today. You can't receive everything in your ear in your hearing. Everything that is said is not ordained. Everybody's thought and opinion and advice is not ordained from the Lord. To settle in your spirit. So what God is trying to get these exiles to get is what you should have gotten when you received your high school diploma. You have to wait. You have to wait what you hear from whom you hear it from. Some people are not called of the Lord to speak into your exilic existence. Yes. Now the Lord calls them false prophets. Okay. Here's issue all three of them. Listen to this, y'all. Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah, Larry, herefore they were bona fide prophets. They were God's prophets. In Israel. So they were not evil men. They were not ill-intentioned. No malice in their heart. Because a false prophet does not always have to be a demon.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Wow. False prophets can be your friend. Amen. False prophet can be someone that means you well. What makes them a false prophet? God says in chapter 29, they spoke without spending time with me.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Prophecy is when you speak that which was not come has not come through prayer. I appreciate your opinion. Your advice is well received. Thank you for your thoughts. But in this stage of my life, I need to be certain that whatever I take in my spirit is that which comes from a prayerful source. You have to be careful of receiving word that you know came from someone who did not spend time on their knees.
Yes.
I would suggest to you that there are some clear indicators of a false prophet versus a prayerful source. Prayerful sources don't communicate through social media. Oh, sorry. Prayerful sources don't dibble and dabble and guess what I heard. Prayerful sources don't use vulgarity and violence to scare you. Prayerful sources don't hide behind anonymity. Prayerful sources that have talked to the Lord come to you. Watch this. This is a prayerful source. This is real simple. Dig in front of them. Check this out. Prayerful source, if they heard from the Lord, that have talked to him, come to you and share with you personally what they believe the Lord has placed within their heart. Then they allow it to rest between you and the Lord as to whether you receive it and what fruits it will bear in your life. Do I need to say that again for y'all?
Yeah.
You think I need to say it again for them?
Yes, sir.
A prayerful source will come to you and share with you personally what they feel that the Lord has put on their heart. Then, they ain't stressing you. Then they will allow you to rest between you and God.
That's right.
As to whether you receive it and what fruits it will bear in your life.
Yes. Yes.
But I suggest to you that there are some clear indicators, some word being spoken that could have been bathed in prayer simply because of the way it comes to you. Couldn't have been bathed in the prayer the way it came to you. You have to be careful of receiving what did not come out of prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, this is why the exiles fell for it. Oh, boy, this is going to get going to hurt. Mm-hmm. This is why they fell for it. Here it is the same problem that affects many people today. These exiles were so distant from God themselves. Did y'all just hear what I just said?
Yes.
You're so distant from God yourself. They swallowed anything they heard from anybody else. You ain't spending no time with God. You ain't got time for church. You ain't got time for Bible study. You ain't got time for sinners. You ain't got time to pick up your Bible. I'm telling you to pick up your cell phone to look at the Bible because you got a feeling. So anytime anybody say, oh, this is from the Lord. Okay. When you're not close to God, when you don't pray yourself, when you don't study your word, when you don't devote with God, when you don't draw close to the Lord, you will fall for anything somebody says.
Yes.
If they put the Lord told me on the front of it, God says I'm looking for a generation that can grow so close to me.
Yes.
That when somebody comes to you and told you the Lord told me this, you have enough discernment to say, I don't receive that because that is not the voice I heard from God. I know you are convicted. I know you think it is true. I know you are passionate. But if I don't receive it in my spirit, I don't care if you think the Lord told you or not. It ain't one for me.
Yes.
Be productive in the midst of your predicament. I'm going to get up out of here. Pray for your persecutors.
Yes.
The well-fall prophet. And finally, be patient on my plan.
Yes.
Be patient on my plan. Listen to the words of hope that God speaks through those exiles. I know it's going to be 7 years, he said. I know this will not be quick and easy. I know this is not where you thought you would wind up at this stage of your life. But I know the thoughts I think towards you. Help me, somebody. Don't you get happy when you just read that scripture by yourself? God says, I know the plans I have for your life. I know that I'm trying to do good by you, to bring you to a future. And a hope. God said, you should say amen because I have got a plan.
Yes, yes.
No matter how dark this looks, God has got a plan. No matter how bad it seems, God's got something up his sleeve, Deacon Dre.
Yes.
He got something up his sleeve. God's still working something out for me.
Yes.
God is still fixing this. God has a plan. All faith really is a belief that no matter how bad my situation really gets, God has a plan.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
There's a purpose in all of this.
Yes.
If life was just random and all I had was the consequences of my decision, then I would be the most miserable of all people.
Mm.
But I know he told me that he'll work all things together for my good.
Yes, sir. Mm.
He said, what was meant for bad, I turned for good. I mean, even when you do it to yourself, he said, I'll fix what you messed up. And fix you up. Because you got me, you're a man, a woman, unto my own heart.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank
you. Deep down inside of me, I believe that no matter how badly I messed up, no matter how much the pain, how dark my situation, I serve a God that has a plan for my life.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yeah.
That means because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Yeah.
That means because he lives, Sister Muffet, all fear is gone.
Yeah.
I know, Sister Muffet, I know that his eyes are on the sparrow.
Yeah.
And I know he watches Clark. I speak for myself.
Yeah.
It really don't matter how bad it gets. No matter what I got to go through. Because I've got a nevertheless attitude. To me, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yes.
Paul said, I don't care about what I got to go through. He said, because this just stuck. He said, all this is temporal. He said, all storms pass after a while.
Yes.
Paul said, I'm a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I just want to keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I said, I don't care about this stuff. I just want to know God in the power of his resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Y'all ain't feeling me.
Yes.
Sister Muffet, can I make it personal for you, Sister Muffet? I'm trying to go to my sleep, but it's getting good to me. See, what happens is, when I say I want to know the power of his resurrection, what happens is, I remember when I used to pick up his word. And had to wait a long time to get a meaning and a deep discernment of what he's trying to share with me. But now I sit down and he starts to dump stuff in my plate.
Wow.
That's the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
He said, if you start to spend some time with me, Deacon Drake, he said, you'll get to know me, man. You'll know my way. You'll know how to wait on me and know that I'm going to come through after a while. So still I get stressed when stuff get crazy. I don't say, oh, no, not again. No, I don't do that. You know what I say? What God up to now?
Yeah.
What are you up to now? Because guess what? It might be my enemy, but he'll use my enemy to bless me.
Yes.
He'll let my haters become my elevators.
Yes,
yes he will. And please,
I love people that are trying to get me. Get me. Come after me. Get me. Plot against me. Because I really don't want to have to wait long. When you do that, you speed up my blessing. Are y'all hearing me? And for you really mean folk, make me cry. Please make me cry. God told me somewhere in Revelation, he said, I will wipe your tears away. He said, I'll wipe your tears away. And if that means he going to wipe my tears away with your money, he going to wipe them away. He don't care how he got to do it, because I'm his child. You got any parents out there? Yes, like that child you got is bad as hell. But that's your child. Amen. Don't mess with my child. I'll take care of my child. But when you get and try to discipline my child, you need to come and talk to me about what my child did first. God said, that's my child. They wrong. I know they wrong. I know they blow down dirty, but the lower they get, the farther I can reach down. He said, but don't you get on the wrong side of me and go think you can be doing something. He said, that's my job. And God got it. It's his principle.
Yes.
Well, I'm a child of God too, and guess what? I'm going to pray to God, take care of that mess. No. And say, pray for your enemies. Pray that they get everything they need, and what you want, you pray for them too.
Mm-hmm.
God said, watch what I do for you.
Yes, sir.
How do you wait while you're going through? I just told you.
Yes, sir.
Do those things. God said, I got you. Stand to your feet.